themselves and really spending time with God. So this morning I would like to talk the passage that has been read before you. It's just a backdrop. We'll be going through a lot of scripture portions. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you read them. We'll go through some scripture portion. It's going to be from the life of Timothy. The title is Honoring God, the Journey of a Faithful Disciple. Honoring God, the Journey of a Faithful Disciple. There was an elderly lady. She was amazed at how nice the young man was next door. And what happened is that every day he would help her gather things from her car. He would keep them at her house. And he would help her in the kitchen, do the dishes. Almost in everything he would assist her. And she was surprised. How come this man is so gentle? How this young man is able to assist me every other day? So one day, this old lady decided that I'm going to ask this young man, "Son, how did you become such a fine young man? Mind sharing your secret with me?" So the young man replied. He said, "Ma'am, I do not share this secret with everyone. I do not tell about my life to everyone. But since you have asked me, I'll tell you. When I was a boy, I had a drug problem." The lady got shocked. She said, "I can't believe that a fine young man like you was into drugs." So this old lady was shocked. So this young boy said, "Yes, ma'am, it's true. When I was a boy, my parents dragged me to church on Sunday morning. They dragged me to church on Sunday night. They dragged me to church on Wednesday evening. That's my secret." So parents' contribution should never be undermined when it comes to their children. The Bible is filled with both good and bad examples of parents and mentors who directed their children's life in some way. We have Adam and Eve, who could not keep harmony between their two sons. We have Isaac and Rebecca, who had their favorites divided over the share of blessing. We have Eli the priest, knowing that his sons are crooked, he did not rebuke them. But in the Bible, we have this boy, Timothy, who was raised godly by his mother and grandmother. So this morning, I'm talking about Timothy. We will explore his life, how he was shaped by his family and his mentor, Apostle Paul. I'll be focusing on two things from Timothy's life this morning. Timothy, a boy with a rich spiritual heritage, and Timothy, a disciple with a father-like mentor, with a father-like mentor. So the first thing, Timothy, a boy with a rich spiritual heritage. We all have heard people say, "Like father, like son, jaisa baap, waisa beta." However, this was not true in Timothy's case. If we turn our Bible, we get to read in the Acts of the Apostles in chapters 16, verse 1. It says, "When Paul and Silas came to Lystra, they met Timothy, a young disciple whose mother was a Jewish believer, but whose father was a Greek. Now, being a Greek, his father could not teach him the treasures of the Jewish faith. But his mother, a Jew, she decided to take control of this spiritual area of Timothy's life." And Paul commends their Jewish heritage. He commends their faith in the Lord Jesus in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." Although Timothy learned a lot of his faith from his mentor Paul, he received the foundation of that faith from his mother and grandmother. The primary role of the parent is spiritual heritage. If this is the only thing you pass on to your children, you have given them everything. Everything. I believe Timothy may have had this thought to him that, "Oh, I have a mixed racial background. My dad could not be my spiritual leader. He even might have thought, I'm just a boy. I can't do things." Had I been at Timothy's place, I would have said to myself, "Oh man, I'm not a pure Jew. I'm a mixed breed. I do not belong to this arena. I'm unfit for this job." But the good thing that is, his mother and grandmother did not let such thoughts occupy his mind. Rather, they saturated his heart, mind and soul with God's word. We get to see that he was from Lystra. By the way, Lystra was a pagan city full of temples and idols of Greek gods. It was not really a city with Jewish influence. And historians confirm that the Jewish influence was very big at this in this city, because there were no synagogues in it. When Paul first came to Lystra, he did not find any synagogue. Paul's usual pattern of going to some city was that he would firstly go into a synagogue, but when he came to Lystra, he did not find any synagogue. So it was an unfavorable environment for Jews, because there was no synagogue. So in such an unfavorable environment, both Timothy's grandmother and mother, they did a fine job. They took the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6 seriously, that commanded the Jews to impress God's command on their children's minds. That's what the contribution Timothy's mother and grandmother made. There was a family of single mother and her two sons. The sons were growing without a father figure. The younger son, during his teenage, he fell into bad company. He associated with boys who were way older than him, and he would do drugs and even sell them. At times, the gang would attack people and rob them. What used to happen is that his mother used to insist him to come and sit with him, study. He refused. He never did such a thing. She herself was illiterate, but she had this desire that both her sons would be literate. She used to pray about it. She used to pray that to the Lord Jesus, that Lord, my younger son would turn away from such a lifestyle and he would be godly. But what happened was that things got worse. It only got worse. One day she gets the news that her younger son, who is still a teenager, has stabbed someone in his school. This news shook the mother. How come his son stabbed someone, tried to murder someone, tried to take someone's life? To cut the long story short, that day, this boy, he repented of his sins. He trusted the Lord Jesus. And instead of a life taker, he became a life saver. His name is Ben Carson, the first pediatric neurosurgeon who performed a surgery on conjoined twins. We may feel challenged today that our son or daughter do not listen to us. We are hopeless that what if they would ever going to come to know the Lord Jesus or not in their lifetime. But I would like to encourage all the parents and grandparents this morning that do not give up on your prayers or the teaching of God's word to your children. The character of our children tomorrow depends upon what we put into their hearts today. As for those who did not have godly parents, they should strive to be one tomorrow. They should pray to the Lord Jesus when they get married, and if they are married, that we would become parents who would raise children godly. So as parents, we are responsible. We need to be deliberate in teaching the Bible, God's word, to our children. The second thing from Timothy's life we'll consider is a disciple. Timothy, a disciple with a father-like mentor. I'm talking about Paul here. To find someone dependable in today's time is very hard, and I'm sure it was difficult back in Paul's time as well. So what was it that Paul found in Timothy that he decided to take him on a missionary trip full of adventures? That he often mentions his name with him when he writes letters to the churches. And even that he entrusted a church to him later in life. The first thing Paul found in Timothy was that Timothy was a man of integrity. Timothy was converted during Paul's first missionary journey. We can read about it in Acts 14. And after a few years, we get to see that there's Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. After that, Paul decides, he plans, okay, let's revisit the churches that we have planted. And But what happens is that there's a sharp disagreement between Barnabas and Paul. Paul doesn't want to take John Mark with him because he's the one who deserted them last time. But Barnabas, he says, no, we need John Mark. And both the missionaries, they parted their ways in disagreement. And Paul is feeling, oh, now I have one person less. What am I going to do? So just when he felt like this, God appointed him with a dependable partner. We get to read about this in Acts chapter 16 verse 2. It says, the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. Speaking well here refers to a testimony of witnesses who have first-hand knowledge. The people who lived with Timothy, the people who had fellowship with Timothy, who knew Timothy in and out, they spoke well of him. And if you note, if you observe, it not Timothy was from Lystra, but here it's written Lystra and Iconium. People, believers, brothers of Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. So Iconium was not his hometown, but even Iconium believers were speaking well of him. They were saying Timothy is a man that can be trusted. He's a man that we recommend Paul to you. Take him along. Lystra and Iconium, they were about 32 kilometers away. A world without WhatsApp, yet the news of Timothy's integrity reached there. In today's age, when political and Bollywood gossip spread faster than fire, we get an example from the olden days of how the word about Timothy's integrity is spread. We need to acknowledge such people, such men and women with character, not to make them famous, that they may become famous, they may become celebrities, but in order to thank God for their lives, for shaping their lives in such a way that they are people who can be trusted. So the first thing Paul found in Timothy was that he was a man of integrity. And the second thing Paul found in Timothy was that he was faithful. Timothy was faithful in Paul's eyes. He was a man of integrity. He was faithful. Timothy's character attestation resulted that he can now accompany Paul on his missionary trips. But when we read Acts, shortly after he joins Paul in Acts chapter 17, what happens is that he and others, Paul and Silas with him, they were caught in a hostile situation in Berea. What is happening here is some Jews came from Thessalonica and they stirred up crowd against them. The believers escorted Paul, but Timothy and Silas stayed back. Why did they stay back? They stayed back to further the work of the gospel. In spite that it was a hostile environment, it was not something they really wanted to be. He learned that from Paul, how to hold the line when times are hard. He learned this from Paul. He showed that he is faithful when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the cause of Christ. Often churches troubled Paul, and to tackle their issues, Paul sent no other man but Timothy as his representative. Paul confirms this about Timothy's faithfulness to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17. He says, "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." Paul trusted Timothy. In the case of Thessalonians, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says, "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith." We need to become people who can be trusted with the issues of others. People who are problem solver for others and not those who create problem for others. For Paul, Timothy was an asset of help. He had faith in Timothy that he is the one who can solve problems of others. Be it a church that is struggling with a spirit of divisiveness, or a church that is constantly being persecuted for their faith in Christ Jesus, Paul knew no other man better than Timothy. It looks like any other Bollywood movie where some bad guys are disturbing the peace of the city, and the police commissioner, he knows no better person than this cop, who every time goes and he gets head to head with these bad guys. We need to be people who are faithful, who can be trusted with the issues of others, like Timothy. Paul not only found him a man of integrity, faithful, but he found Timothy helpful. Now, Paul had been with Timothy for a while now. He had learned of his lifestyle, his habits, his weaknesses, and most of all, his faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul contributed much in Timothy's life. The result of that is seen when Paul writes to the Philippians. He says, "I have no one else like him who takes genuine interest in your welfare." And then he further says, "But Timothy has proved himself as a son with his father. He has served with me in the work of the gospel." Paul says, "I have no one like him." When we read literally in Greek, it gives the impression that he is just like me, who takes genuine interest in the lives of other people. Timothy had learned the art of putting others before him. That's what Timothy was. There was a prominent soldier, he was returning from a foreign duty, and a newly hired driver was sent to pick him from the station because there would be many soldiers. He asked the soldier's mother, "How am I going to recognize your son?" The aged mother said, "Look for somebody who is helping someone else." And the soldier said, "Okay, that would be easy." And sure enough, when the train pulled in, the driver saw a man assisting an old lady, and it was the soldier. So it was with Timothy. Timothy's mark of recognition was that he was ready to help people. He was ready to help the churches. Someone who took genuine interest in the lives of other people, not with the intention of gathering content for gossip, but with the idea, with the intention, so that he can be of help to someone else. Paul further adds to Timothy's qualification in these verses. He says he has proved himself. It literally means to be approved by passing a test. So what tests were there? How did Timothy prove himself? What was it? He proved himself by sticking with Paul through thick and thin, by volunteering to tackle the hard jobs, by refusing to take the annual leave, by doing the menial tasks, the dirty work, so Paul could do what he was best at. Note one thing here, that this kind of proving doesn't happen overnight. Too many people want an instant spirituality, they want an overnight maturity, but God doesn't work like that. Producing Christian character takes time and effort. And Paul invested his sweat and blood in Timothy's life so he could be mature, he could be spiritual, he could do what God really wanted him to do. Paul treated Timothy like a son, and this is visible in his epistles to Timothy. When Timothy found it hard to combat the false teacher, Paul encouraged him to fight the good fight of faith. When people spoke of Timothy being an inexperienced young boy, Paul urged him to be of a character that won't be looked down upon by others. When Timothy struggled with his youthful desires, Paul directed him to pursue holiness and flee the lustful desires of youth. When Timothy felt timid and fearful, Paul reminded him that God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. When Timothy felt that pastoring a church is too difficult, Paul appealed to him to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When he realized this, that life is only getting harder with time, Paul commanded him to carry out the full commission God has given. That's how Paul treated Timothy like a son. And Paul often in his epistles addressed Timothy as a co-worker, a brother, and a true son in faith. All these designations, they tells something about Timothy, that how he became a servant with Paul in ministry, how he was a support for Paul in missions, and a successor of Paul in taking care of the church at Ephesus, that we get to know in his first epistle to Timothy. The relationship of Paul and Timothy challenges the role of elders in training, influencing, and indoctrinating the young minds at our church. It is not just parents who are responsible, but also the church leadership for youth. The youth of our church today is under pressure of their unbelieving peers, social media, education, and drugs. These are some of the things that youth is facing, not just the Christian youth, the secular youth, the non-believing youth as well. So what can we do from this duo, father-son duo of Paul and Timothy? We can learn some things. That is, we need to train the young minds with God's word so they may say no to ungodly things. We need to influence them in such a way that in turn they would influence their non-believing friends. That's the prayer, that's what brother today prayed, that we may become people who influence others. We need to pray with these young people so they may be comforted when they feel low, when they are not really feeling that we can face this world. We need to sit with them, we need to pray with them. A pat on their back or our arm around their shoulder will give us access to their hearts. We need to become their Paul so they can be our Timothy. And for us as youngsters, what can we do? We can do one thing, and that is that we need to be accountable. We need to tell our struggles to our church leaders, to our parents. What are we facing? What are we thinking? What are we going through? Just like Timothy did. That's why Paul was able to help him out when he was struggling with his youthful desires, when he felt timid and fearful, when he felt, oh, the church is so too hard on me, I'm so young, I'm not able to really take care of this church. That's when Paul was able to help Timothy. So we as youngsters, we need to be honest about our struggles. We need to trust our leaders. We need to trust our parents. I'll close by telling you about Timothy's last time. Timothy's name means honoring God. Not just his name honored God, but throughout his life he had purposed in his heart that he's going to bring glory to God, he's going to honor God. He honored God by being a help to Paul, by caring for the needs of churches, and also by preaching the gospel. In return, God honored him by approving him to be a workman who handles God's word rightly. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Timothy was even imprisoned. In chapter 13 we get to see, and later he was released. And I believe during his imprisonment, just like Paul, he honored God. But lastly, Timothy honored God through his death. When he tried to oppose an indecent procession of goddess Diana, by that time he was a bishop. Her worshippers, they turned angry when he tried to oppose them. And what happened is, they stoned him, this aged bishop, to death. And I believe that he honored God even by his death. Was Timothy weak? No doubt about it. Did he fall at times? Sure he did. But he honored God with his life and death. That's why we call it a life that honors God. A life that brings glory to God. How have we purpose in our hearts to honor God? Do our lives bring honor to God, or disgrace, or dishonor, or shame to his name? The first step in honoring God is by giving our lives to the Lord Jesus. Have you given your life to God? Have you given your life? Have you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus? Have you believed on the gospel today? That's the first step that you can do to honor God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are so grateful for this time. We pray, Father, that In these 10 years, you have been faithful with DBF Dwarka because your faithfulness is eternal. Father, I pray for today's word that, Father, you have sown in our hearts. I believe, Father, that your gracious hand is always upon us. Timothy's life is a testimony to us. How he remained faithful in his journey. As a disciple, Father, he was quiet, he was submissive to Paul. As a son, he obediently learned from his mother and grandmother. And he honored you, Father, through his life, through his death as well. And we believe, Father, that today we want to be like Jesus. We want to honor you through our lives. And Father, for those who do not know you today, I pray that they may know you. They may come into a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We may become a people of integrity, faithful and helpful. And Father, we may honor you through our lives. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this prayer. Amen. Thank you.